Let's take our Bibles and look together in 2 Samuel chapter 19. My text is from verse 16 down to verse 23, and I've entitled this simply, Judgment Deferred. And here we see an example of this in how David dealt with Shimei, who was of King Saul's family and had been an enemy of David's as he was being chased out of Jerusalem by Absalom. He was the one who went on the other side of the river and cursed David as he left. But now as David is entering back into Jerusalem to ascend to that throne that was rightfully his, we find Shimei accompanied by a large number of other men. In fact, verse 17 speaks of 1,000 men of Benjamin. Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And we find him coming now. The scripture says they're hasting to meet David. Some might look at that and think, wow, what a conversion. Here's Shimei, when he was going out, was cursing him, and now look at here. So let's read this and see what we can learn. It says there in verse 16, and Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, that's where David had been in exile, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David, isn't that interesting, mingling with the men of Judah, putting himself in that crowd of those that were David's of the tribe of Judah. But here he was with their number. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king had come to meet and greet the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. You look at this again and say, wow, what a conversion. From cursing, casting stones at the king, now bowing to him, and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. So even he is anticipating objection and addresses David with what he knows David would remember of him, and yet he says, don't impute that to my account. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All those right words. Therefore, behold, I am come the first, notice, the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. Why does he say of the house of Joseph? Because Benjamin was Joseph's brother. It was Joseph and Benjamin that were of Rachel, born of Rachel. So he is even leaning on and falling back on his family history in order to gain David's favor. Verse 21, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, these were the priests that had accompanied David, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Abishai was one of the ones that wanted to go and lop off his head. Back there in chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, he objected to David being merciful. And David said, verse 22, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? That's an important thing. This day. For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? In other words, there's none that can say to him as a king what to do or what not to do. And in this I see a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, where different ones attempted to influence him and how he dealt with even those who were avowedly his enemies. How many times it says in Scripture the Lord answers not a word? Or he would not. He would say to them, to his disciples even, when they going through Samaria, they were one that cast down fire from heaven, destroy those Samaritans. And the Lord said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't dictate to the king what to do, how he shows mercy or how he renders judgment. Therefore the king said unto Shimei, verse 23, thou shalt not die. Now we know he's not saying you'll never die. And it's in the context of what he said up there in verse 22. Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? So you have to understand that in the context. He's saying to Shimei, thou shalt not die. Implication, this day. And the king swear unto him. In other words, here's where we see judgment deferred. Because we're going to see the rest of the story. Remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story? There's a rest of the story here with Shimei. But for now, judgment deferred. And I want us to consider that, because if you take a concordance and just run the name Shimei through the Scriptures, you'll find four particular passages in all of Scripture that pertain to him. But it's always in the context of forbearance toward him. He was always an enemy of the king and would die an enemy of the king. But for his own self-serving purposes, he pretended to be a friend of the king. I liken it to many people today in religion. You know, when it's storming and there's trials, they cry out unto God. It's like we saw in our scripture reading, Psalm 106. And when the Lord delivers them, what do? They become hardened in thinking that somehow they're being blessed, and on they go. Only to face ultimately judgment of God. Such was the case here with Shimei, as we're going to see. So, in this chapter, this portion, we see a contrast between what is true forgiveness and what is simply judgment deferred. If I were to ask you, what would you prefer? Just judgment deferred? That eventually, the Lord, let me live a good life. Let me enjoy some success. And hear my prayers. And let me have a good family and a good job. And all health, wealth, and prosperity for a season. And then be cast into utter darkness. Or would you rather to have true forgiveness? By, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you stand pardoned as a sinner, even if it means not having all the temporal blessings. I know for myself, by God's grace, I want to be one of that number. And God would be pleased to show grace for Christ's sake, and not just simply have the judgment deferred. Now, I'm going to explain to you why this is judgment deferred, but first thing I have us note here in this portion is that judgment, God's judgment, may be deferred even for many who confess their transgressions. Shimei is an example. He's asking forbearance from David, even though in his heart he was still David's enemy. That's typical of so many today that profess to be God's children, and yet it says, Christ said of the Pharisees, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. There's never been a work of grace in the heart. And we're going to see that with Shimei. There was never a work of grace done in his heart. Shimei was of the same family as King Saul, but all his lifetime he opposed the accession of David to the throne of Israel, even though that was where God had put him. There are people today that call themselves Christian that will give lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ so long as they get what they want. And you say, well, why does God answer their prayers if they're not truly His? Like we saw in Psalm 106, to send leanness to their souls. They actually become hardened in that state of mind that they're in, thinking that they're being blessed because they have all of these temporal blessings. We've all seen it. Seen on a license plate of a brand new late model vehicle, you know. I'm blessed. They got what they wanted. And preachers are willing to preach that way for people. Tell them that if you just confess your sins, if you'll just give your life over to God, you can enjoy all of these same blessings that I enjoy. Listen to them if you have the stomach to. I can't endure long. But they're all saying the same thing. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Follow these steps. It always begins with confession of sin. But here's where I would warn us, as in Shimei's case, never to judge one state by outward appearance or profession. When you read this here in 2 Samuel 19, if this is all we had, you would think, wow, there has been a conversion. There has been a work of grace. This is why we always have to compare Scripture with Scripture and see everything in its context. And we're going to look at it here a little bit. But from outward appearance, everything that Shimei was doing here appeared to be the right thing. Right down to verse 16 where it says, he hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. He hasted. That's the same thing that was said of Zacchaeus. He hasted and came down. But it's not a physical coming to Christ that is salvation. Preachers today get people to hurry down an aisle. Make your mark with God right now. Don't leave this place without settling this matter with Christ, because you don't want to go out there. You never know when you might be taken out. So let's settle this now. There is a pushing of people to haste physically come to Christ. I like what I heard a preacher say one time. The Scriptures do command us to come to Christ, but this preacher said, without bowing your head, without raising your hand, without moving from your place, come to Christ. There where you are. It's not a physical response that indicates salvation. Even with Christ in his day, there were many that followed after him. But as Christ declared there in John 2 and verse 21, he did not commend himself unto them because he knew their hearts. So judge not by outward appearance. Secondly, don't judge by numbers. How many people are taken up with how many people are attending these places of worship? And there's a competition to see how many can grow their congregations to the greatest number. Here, in verse 17, there were 1,000 men of Benjamin. So it wasn't just Shimei. He rallied a whole bunch of his kinfolk. That sounds like modern day proselytizing too, isn't it? Bring your family. And the fact that they mingled themselves here with the sons of Judah. Sons of Judah representing that true people that David represented, the king of Judah. Type of Christ. Here they come, mingling themselves into this mix. Don't judge by numbers. There was those multitudes in John 6 that followed our Lord Jesus Christ. Not for the miracles, but because he broke the bread. You talk about a nice welfare program. Let's follow this man. Because Look at here. He can take the bread and multiply it. We'll never have to work again a day of our lives. Just follow Jesus. And yet, when he said unto them, no man can come unto me except if you give him my Father, they were offended. Like people today are offended because you won't glorify their free will. We had a visitor this past Sunday. It was in our midst. And I was prayerful for her. She's one of our neighbors. She got home and sat down by the date on the letter. Wrote on there how distasteful it was for her to attend this place. Not that the people weren't nice, but because I wouldn't give credence to her profession. And threw it back at me in the letter. Who are you to judge saved or lost based on profession? And her closing point was, I'm going to go find a church that believes like I do. Well, if you're your own reference point, that's like a person out there in the sea drowning. Hang on to yourself all you want to. How's that working for you? You can even find a life raft out there and float around in that life raft for how long? How long can you exist without food and water? Eventually you're going to die. And that's what happens with man's profession. But when the Lord said to these in John 6, no man can come unto me except to be given of his Father. From that point forward, it says in John 6 and verse 65 and 66, they turned from him and followed him no more. Vain profession. But these were multitudes. And that's when the Lord looked at his little flock, his disciples, and said, will you also go away? But his spirit was in them to where they said to him, shall we go? Thou art the one who has the words of life, eternal life. But don't judge by numbers and don't be discouraged by the few. Christ called his flock a little flock. If there's even one of us that can, by God's grace, claim to be one of his sheep, that is a grace. So it's not in numbers. And don't judge also by outward gestures of humility. There in verse 18, when he was coming over on that ferry boat to carry over the king's household and do what he thought good, Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. He was the first to do it, leading the way. Those outward gestures of humility. Paul, writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, wrote this, of course, in verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Something about Shimei, he was not after David. He wasn't seeking David's glory. He was just wanting to save his hide. And hide in doing so. Hide his true intentions. But here in Colossians 2 and verse 23, Paul, directed by the Spirit, writes, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. There's that appearance. Outward gestures of humility. In what? Will worship. Will worship. That means worshiping according to this will and not according to the word. And what? Humility. And neglecting of the body, fastings is what he's talking about here, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, to quench in any way the lust of this flesh. Can't be done. So don't judge by outward gestures of humility. People can look awful humble when they're supposedly worshiping. Bow your head, some get down on their knees, you go through these gestures. None of that indicates any true heart for Christ, just as here, Shimei, pacing, bowing down, falling down. And fourthly, I would say, don't judge just because the words seem right. If you just read here, Shimei's words in verses 18 all the way down to verse 20, it sounds pretty good. Lord, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. Don't attribute this to me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. He didn't just say did in that day, but perversely. He knew exactly words to say to somehow try to win the favor of the king. He was requesting something of the king, though, that was only by the king's prerogative. Just like with Christ. All authority put into his hand to save as many as the Father had given him. This is not determined by the offender just because he said don't impute. Non-imputation of sin can only be called pardon where that sin is justly put to another's account and the debt paid. That's true. David in Psalm 32 prayed this same prayer that the Lord, blessed be the Lord who imputes not iniquity or sin to his account. You say, well, what's the difference between the two prayers? If you go to Psalm 32, which we'll do here just briefly, take a look at Psalm 32. Here's a difference between what David prayed for his own sin and what Shimei here is asking of David. It says in verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That word forgiven means to be lifted up off of the sinner and whose sin is covered. That's an important word because until Christ came and paid the debt, sin could only be covered. What is the word covering but atonement? But he's asking for that sin to be covered until such time as Christ should come and pay the debt. And that's why he says in verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And in the Hebrew language, that's in a double negative. So, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no, not ever, iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no guile. Where was he looking? He was looking to Christ coming and paying his sin debt. Over here, in 2 Samuel 19, Shimei is asking that his sin not be imputed to his account. And he finds comfort in the fact that David, in his forbearance, tells him, you'll not die today. But what's missing? There's no sacrifice. That wasn't of concern to Shimei. And it's of no concern to people today. All they want is for God to forgive them without any interest in how it is God could be just and justified. And if they can get a sense of peace and pardon, forgiveness, and they think that they're safe because of how they've confessed or said right words, I will tell you that's only a temporal deliverance. Because unless the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt of the sinner, there is no salvation, eternal salvation. Everything's but a temporal deliverance. And here's why I will tell you that judgment deferred does not mean necessarily pardon or justification. I give you the example here. We're looking at Shimei, but I'll give you the example of Cain. When the Lord said to Cain, go and do good, which meant what? Find a sacrifice. Leave here the works of your hands. Go get a sacrifice and bring it. Otherwise, they say, sin lies at the door. And when God pronounced judgment on Cain for slaying Abel, his heart wasn't turned to the Lord. What was his one thing that he said unto the Lord there in Genesis chapter 4? You can read it a little bit later. He said, my judgment is too much to bear. And what he wanted was God's assurance to at least give him a prosperous life. And God did. Cain was very successful in his life. In what he did, but when he died, he perished. That was it. Judgment deferred in his case, and yet ultimately condemned. Same thing could be said of Esau. Same thing could be said of Saul. Same thing could be said of Judas. How long was he there? And did he walk with our Lord? But his end was the death of the wicked. Now, when I tell you judgment deferred, here we come to the end of the story, the rest of the story. If this Bible narrative had stopped here in 2 Samuel 19, then we might think somehow that Shimei had gained forgiveness of sins. But the record of Shimei picks up many years later when David is old and about to turn over the kingdom to his son, Solomon. And for that, I want you to look in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. This is why it's good to compare Scripture with Scripture. What about Shimei? Was he the Lord's or wasn't? Well, these are David's last words. And then his death. It says there in verse 1 of chapter 2, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, in other words, death. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Solomon, as a type of Christ, was charged with keeping the law. We know he didn't. It was in type only. There's only one who has kept God's law, and that's God's Son. But nonetheless, charged with this, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Well, there's only one faithful one that ever sat on that throne. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah. See, these are all related. Joab was related to Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. So there was some kinship there, but he says, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war and peace and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet. How long ago did that happen? Early on in David's reign. And yet David never forgot. And he says, do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not this poor head go down to the grave in peace. It's time to execute Joab. So Joab's a type of deferred judgment. Where he apparently appeared to be serving David all this time, but doing his own thing. In his way, David said, don't let him go down in peace. And show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, my brother. Who determines judgment? Who determines grace? David's acting here as a king. Type of Christ. And here it is in verse 8. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, of Benjamite, of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood. So judgment deferred. Ultimately, Shimei would die the death of the wicked, just like Joab. Some of these that appeared to be with David, but were not. And you can read about his death over 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 36 to 46. Even here, with this instruction, this is not done in vengeance. God's justice is not a vengeance where he's reacting. It's determined according to his will. But if you look in 2 Kings chapter 2, this is many years later, with King Solomon, in verses 36 to 46, you can read that here. Let's say 2 Kings. Take that back. It's 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 36 and 46. 46. It says there, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there and go not forth thence any whither. Why did he want Shimei to stay in Jerusalem? Well, because there were those cities of refuge. He didn't want Shimei to run into those cities. He must stay there in Jerusalem. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, and thy blood shall be upon thy head. And Shimei initially said, thy saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Again, judgment deferred. How long was he there? Well, he got feeling pretty good. The king said to stay here, I'm going to stay here. But as you read on down through that chapter, you'll see where ultimately Solomon sends for him and calls him. He said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, no, for certain on the day thou goest out, walkest abroad any whither, and thou shalt surely die. And thou saidst unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Well, he got up and went out. That in the previous verses, at the end of 3 years, it says that two of the servants, verse 39 of Shimei, ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath. That's that free spirit that people have. If the Lord even said, stay here and rest in Christ, they can't. They'll follow after their own heart. As it says there in verse 44, the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. There's going to be those in that day who will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in your name? The Lord said to them, depart from me, you will never be. I'm thankful that for those that are in Christ, our judgment has not been deferred. In the Old Testament, it was deferred because it was purposed to Christ. When he came and paid the debt, all of the sin of his people from the Old Testament put away at that point. The same with us. We're the Lord's. The only thing we can say is our judgment has been upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Else we're no better. We deserve exactly the same as any enemy. May the Lord receive all the praise and glory.